Hello, everyone. This is Renee Rentmeester. I'm the creator and executive producer of the Cooking Without Looking TV show and podcast. And today we have a very special guest for you, Bill Bullis. Bill, how are you?
I am great. I've been paying attention to your show and your Facebook feed and all that kind of stuff for such a long time. So I'm very happy to be here.
Well, that's very nice of you. Yes, and I've been keeping up with yours as well, so I appreciate that. And how did I do on your name?
You did great. You did great. Yes.
Okay. Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm a vision rehabilitation specialist. I work for the federal government and I run a program that helps blinded veterans get a lot of what they need in terms of training, equipment. We do a lot of things and I think we do really good work. So I'm very, very happy to be in that role.
And Bill, you were blind yourself, correct?
Yeah, I've been blind since birth. I was low vision first, and then I lost a lot of my eyesight later on. And so I learned Braille when I was young, probably like 4 or 5 years old, like in kindergarten, I started learning Braille. I use a cane every day, and I use computers with assistive technology like screen readers and Braille displays. So yeah, I've been doing it for a while.
So you basically had to learn two alphabets at once, right? The Braille and then just the regular alphabet.
Yeah, and it was actually good for me because I think learning print gave me an opportunity to learn not just reading print, but looking at pictures that are in books and things like that, and being able to look around and see a little bit. Gave me an opportunity to kind of figure out what it's like to be able to see, even if it's just a little bit. So with things like spatial stuff, with just how a room is set up, I had a bit of a leg up on some of my friends who were totally blind. I think it really helped in the beginning, and now I can, function with that stuff. Being able to remember it and be able to kind of process it in my brain as to how, stuff is set up in an environment.
That's really cool. How much sight do you have left, Bill?
Very little. I can see shadows. I can see if an object is in my way, but I can't make out what the object is. So they're either very blurry or very just non, I'm not able to kind of put together what that object might be.
Sort of like
So
nondescript, right?
yeah, basically.
Somebody once mentioned to me that it was like looking through a shower curtain. I guess.
Depends on the shower curtain, but yeah,
Yeah,
I like my shower curtains to be as little see-through as possible.
Well, that's good to know,
but
Bill. I'll mark that
Yeah.
down. Well, in this age of all the technology and everything, there's always discussion of whether Braille is necessary because of all the technology. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm very aggressive about people being taught Braille. It isn't for everyone. Like if you have really good usable vision, then and your vision is stable, like if you're able to use magnification effectively, then maybe you don't need Braille. But for the most part, I think anybody who struggles with reading print, like if you're popping up your magnification to a really high level, I think it's time for Braille. And I think we need to be introducing Braille to people a lot in a better way, because I think a lot of instructors take the lazy way out when it comes to Braille. And so I'm very aggressive about teaching it. I'm very aggressive about people being given the opportunity to learn Braille in a way that doesn't make Braille seem like it's really scary, I've seen teachers do that where they introduce Braille in a way that's well, like you said, right? With the computers being what they are, you don't really need Braille. Are you sure you want it? That type of
Right.
stuff. Yeah, and that bugs me because it's an issue of literacy, and it's also an issue of being able to be confident and competent when you do your work. So yeah,
Right.
I'm very aggressive about it. I'm very aggressive about it.
It's sort of like teaching sighted 5-year-olds. Well, you don't really need to learn the alphabet, just here, listen
Yeah.
to this audiobook.
Exactly. We have Audible now, so you don't need to read. That's silly. That's
Right,
silly. And
exactly.
if you wouldn't use that logic for a sighted kid, you shouldn't be using it for a blind person. So,
Well, that's a good point. That's a good
yeah.
point you made.
Yeah.
Well, I know you wanted to talk to me about the kitchen about
Yeah.
the accessibility in the kitchens. Let me know what you'd like to talk about.
So for a lot of people, the kitchen is a scary place, right? There's all the, I don't want to get burned. I don't want, when you're browning meat and it starts to snap, or if you're cooking bacon or if you're cooking things like that and it starts to snap at you, a lot of people can be freaked out by that kind of thing, and it's normal. There's nothing wrong with it, right? I'm not one of those people that's like, what are you so scared of? Come on, it's nothing. It's not nothing. It's a legitimate fear. And so on the Field of Vision, which is my show, I've done podcasts where we actually go in and describe the inside of like your oven, like the coils, the heating mechanism, the slats on the side of the oven, like how to properly put your oven, the trays, how to put them in properly. What to stay away from when the oven is hot and you're working in it. I've talked about different types of safety gear that you can use when you are working in the kitchen, right? So in order to avoid those burns, there's a lot of stuff that you can get in catalogs that are for for people who are blind. It's, what they call the specialty catalogs. But there's also stuff you can get at Walmart, you can get at any kitchen store. Even some of the fancier kitchen stores will carry some stuff that is not intended for accessibility, but it works by accident. You know what I mean? So like the longer oven mitts, like you could find those almost anywhere,
The old
right?
oven glove.
Yeah, oven mitts with Teflon, like that have the little Teflon in them, to avoid them catching fire, like the fire. What, it's not Teflon. It's called. It's some kind of fire safety piece. I'm drawing a blank on
Sure.
the type of word, but it's basically they're kind of rubberized kind of gloves, and you can use them, and you won't get burned, right? And so for people that are scared, it's absolutely normal. And so I always talk about the fact that it's okay to be nervous. It's okay to be scared. You have meat snapping at you when it's cooking, it's sizzling, bacon especially. You have that stuff snapping at you, and maybe you have like little droplets of oil hitting you in the face. It can freak anybody out, especially if you don't know where it's coming from or if anything fell somewhere, spilled. I get it. And so I try to help people understand how to safely be able to move around in the kitchen and be able to make some really good, healthy but delicious meals for themselves, and so
Well, also
I, yeah.
you have a special role because the people who you're teaching probably became blind through something really horrendous. And
Correct.
so their fear is probably up and above over anyone who just happens to go blind. Is that the
Correct.
case?
Always, always. So you have people that have lost their eyesight later in life, so they didn't have the foundation that people like me have, right? They didn't have that beginning and the slow transition into going from somebody who can see a little bit, or even a lot, to someone who is either totally blind or who has very little usable vision. A lot of times the people that I work with have gone through that, like, in a snap of your fingers that quickly, But there are other people that I work with outside the government that also lost their eyesight later in life. And in many cases, it is gradual, but they didn't have the right supports in place because they're still dealing with so much stuff that comes with losing your vision. You know, they're dealing with like all the psychosocial stuff, you know, the panic that comes with it. There's a lot of stuff that people go through that's very, very painful when it comes to losing your vision, because it's almost like you're losing your identity to many people. It you know,
Right.
yeah. So I take that stuff into consideration. So we take things slow with people, and we work with people at their level, right? So that way we don't push them ahead, and they can ask, you know, feel free and comfortable to ask all the questions they want. We can, like, for example, like the oven, we can go into the oven when it's cold. We can shut it completely off. Let's say it's an electric oven. We can shut all that stuff off, so that way all the fear of the danger is gone, and we can, you know, we can work with people to be able to get them comfortable before we turn that thing on and make it super hot. So.
I'm thinking of this one young man who was on our show at one point, and he had been a roadside bomb exploded on him
Right.
in
Oh,
Iraq.
yeah.
And I'm thinking, how do you teach that man to go by an oven or to cook with all the crackling? I would think that would bring up a lot of frightening fears, like a PTSD.
It can, and that's why you take things very, very slowly. That's why you take things at a person's, you know, at their pace, right? Let them pace themselves. And also, look, the truth of the matter is, when you have injuries like that, it's not just eyesight that has, you know, you're not struggling with changes in your vision. A lot of times there's hearing issues. A lot of times there's a traumatic brain injury. There's a lot of stuff that comes with losing your eyesight that quickly and that tragically. So, you know, like I think people need to be given the opportunity to ease into whatever they're learning, so that way they can do it comfortably, and that's what we do. We don't push people, you know. So,
Right, you have
yeah.
them increase your ability at their own pace. What
Absolutely.
are some of the objects or gadgets you offer or you tell people about when they go blind and they have to work in the kitchen still?
So we focus on skills and then include gadgets wherever they're necessary, right? So like I talked about earlier, being able to protect yourself when you're cooking, when you're working with hot surfaces or you know, a hot oven, using that protective gear, especially in the beginning. And you could always move to other gear that's less protective as you get comfortable. But using that protective gear, like oven mitts that are longer, they go like maybe closer to your elbow. That way you don't burn your arm on like the inside of the oven, like on the sides. You know, using skills is important when you add the gadgets and stuff to the skills. That's what helps a person be a lot more independent. We talk about microwaves that are accessible. We talked about how to take the oven that you currently have in your home or your apartment and see if we can make that accessible. So we hope that there's not touch screens on them, that they're either button or knob driven. We also try to we hope and we try to push for people to have appliances where the knobs are closer to you, where you don't have to reach over like an open flame
Right.
in order to get to your dials. Like, 'cause a lot of stoves and ovens have their controls up above, like in the back of the stove. Like, you know, they're not right up on the edge of it where your body would be. They're over in the back of the stove. So it can be scary for people to have to reach over like a burner to get to the controls to shut it off or to turn on another one.
What do you find is maybe a brand name or what is the most accessible oven you know that's especially good for people who are blind or visually impaired?
The truth of the matter is they're always changing, right? Every few
Mm-hmm.
months you get a new model. So it's really tough to say.
Right.
It's really tough to say. I would love to say, I don't know, Samsung is the best, or which is the other one? Whirlpool or any of those, those appliances. And the truth of the matter is, it really depends on the day. When you go to the store today to look for appliances, you might see something that you like a lot, and then 3 months later, you'll go to that same exact store, and they'll have new models, and some of them may not be accessible when they were the last time. So it's really tough right now. More and more companies are trying to merge stuff and build them into their apps. So you see a lot of technology companies, a lot of manufacturers putting apps out there. But those aren't always great. It really depends on the accessibility of whoever's the accessibility talent of whoever's building the app.
And earlier you mentioned to me when we were speaking about something, a concept I don't know much about. It's leftover lasagna, but
Leftover. There shouldn't be such a thing as leftover lasagna, but
you have a great lasagna recipe and tips you wanted to share with us. What do you do with your lasagna? You actually have
well,
leftovers, huh?
the reason I like lasagna is because I make it in a big pan, right? I make it
Right,
in a
right.
big pan, and there's some tricks that I'm going to talk about that I think lead to a really good lasagna, but they also lead to you being able to, freeze some of it and use it later in the week, right? So the lasagna doesn't go to waste.
Right, right.
I think it's delicious. I think you can make it with different types, like you can make it with turkey if you want to. I don't know why you would, but you can.
I'm
You
there
can
with
make it
you
with
on that,
you can make it with turkey, but the recipe is relatively easy to put together. Again, it involves using a lot of skills, right? Mixing, pouring, working with a hot oven, placing your noodles in the pan properly, using aluminum foil and covering stuff up, taking it out of the oven and letting it cool, right? All those are skills that people need to learn. And this dish actually encompasses pretty much all of those safety and accessibility skills to be able to do it. So,
So that's when somebody's taking their final test in your kitchen, that's what you give them. You make a lasagna.
I don't know about that, but yeah, I mean, if they want to, sure. A lot of training centers do it, and when I work with people privately, we've actually done lasagna. So one of the tricks that I teach people is, lasagna, when you have to use the right noodles, right? You have to use the right kind of lasagna noodles, because a lot of places, if you buy some of the frozen lasagna,
Ugh.
or if you buy some of the frozen stuff, which some of it tastes okay, but when you buy that stuff, they use very, very thin, cheap noodles. And so when you're cutting it, stuff tends to get all over the place. It's not an easy to cut kind of thing. So when we talk to people and work with people on making this dish, I always say get the thicker lasagna, like get the thicker noodles. That way you can cut it in nice little squares or rectangles, depending on how hungry you are. You can cut it into little rectangles, put them in like a Tupperware or something, and you can actually freeze them and use them later on in the week. So for the money that you're going to spend, you're going to spend a little extra buying good quality noodles and maybe some good quality sauce. It's going to last you multiple meals, and I think it is a very cost-effective way to eat, and so yeah, I
What are
mean,
you
if you like lasagna, think about
Well, I usually have it for breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack, night. You know, it's
I'm
just
coming to
an
your house.
excuse.
I mean, where's that transport button on the Zoom here so we can
There you
I'm coming to
go.
have some lasagna. But
Well,
yeah.
what about those? What are your thoughts on the non-boil noodles?
On the non-boil noodles.
Yeah, those ones that you just stick in there when you're putting all the sauce and everything in. They say you don't have to boil them, that you just put them in there.
I don't have an opinion on them because I haven't used them.
Yeah,
I haven't used them at all.
they just taste a little gummy to me. Maybe I'm doing something wrong, but I stay with the old-fashioned noodles.
Yeah, when you boil noodles, I think the fact that you're boiling them gives them a kind of clean, I'm not gonna say crisp, but it gives them a clean feel when you're eating them, because they're not using all those preservatives and stuff to keep them, soft, right? So I don't know. I'm not a fan of anything instant. You know what I mean?
Right,
And I
right,
think
right.
I also think it's a good thing to boil them. I think it brings out a lot of flavor and consistency to your lasagna. So
Well, feel free to share that recipe, Bill.
all right, so we're gonna share the recipe. This is where Renee's gonna be a good editor because I gotta
No,
pull it up. Here we
Renee
are.
doesn't edit. Renee doesn't edit it.
No?
Yes, no, because you know why? I'm working with people who are blind, and if everything comes out totally perfect, which most often, like 1,000%, it does. It's like, oh well, they probably just edited the mistakes out. So I keep it very authentic. And as well as people like to hear real life, real people talking about real things, it's not like TV back in the day when everything had to be just so, and it's like people like the human part of it.
Okay, so here's the recipe. Here's the recipe. I was like listening to my screen reader. Okay, so first I'm going to tell you all the things that you're going to need in order to make this thing. Okay, we're making a big lasagna. So if you're going to make less, like then if you're going to make like a smaller tray, then you might want to cut this in half, like all the ingredients that I'm giving you. All right. So we're going to use 1 pound sweet Italian sausage, 3/4 of a pound of lean ground beef. You want to get that as lean as possible, like the, I guess 98%, I think it is.
Right.
Tastes really, really good. And don't worry about that. Like a lot of people like a less lean ground beef because of the flavor that's in the fat. You're gonna get that in the
Sausage.
sausage. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's good to use the lean ground beef for this, okay? So you're gonna need a half cup minced onion, 2 cloves of garlic crushed. You're gonna need a large can of crushed tomatoes. It says 28 ounces for this particular size that we're doing. We're making a big lasagna, right? So
Like a
28
swimming
ounce can.
pool.
Yeah. No, it's not that big. But remember, because you have multiple layers in it, so you're going to use more than it sounds like. All
Right.
right. You're going to need 2 small cans of tomato sauce. It says 6.5 ounces. 2 6-ounce cans of tomato paste. One half cup of water. 2 tablespoons white sugar, 4 tablespoons of chopped fresh parsley divided, 1.5 teaspoon of dried basil leaves, 1.5 spoon table salt, or you can put as much as you want in there. It's just for taste. 1 teaspoon Italian seasoning, and a half teaspoon fennel seeds,
Ooh, I love fennel seeds.
quarter teaspoon of ground black pepper, 12 lasagna noodles, and we're gonna talk about those again in just a second. 16 ounces ricotta cheese, one egg, and it says 3/4 of a pound mozzarella cheese sliced, 3/4 of a cup grated Parmesan cheese. Okay,
Okay.
that's it. It's a lot of ingredients. It sounds like it's a lot, but it's not as much as you think, because most of those things are going in together, and most of those things are just for flavor, and they're very, very small amounts. Like when we talk about like a quarter of a teaspoon of something or a teaspoon and a half of something, you're not using the whole thing. All right. So this is where your measuring skills come in. Like this is where, when you use measuring cups or measuring spoons, that's where your skills come in for all this type of stuff. And then, like I said earlier, pouring, mixing, all of that stuff is going to come into play here. All right. So there's a lot of good skills that you're going to learn and that you're going to put to use when you're making this thing. All
It should
right.
be called Bill Bulla's lasagna method.
I don't know, man. People are gonna get mad at me when they put on all this weight after eating this lasagna. It sounds so rich and so cheesy and so and it is, but remember, you're not eating the whole thing in one sitting, and we're using a large pan. All
Yourself.
right, so you're gonna freeze some of this stuff, hopefully, or put it in the fridge and share it with your family and things like that. So, all right. So step one, obviously, gather all of your ingredients. And you're gonna cook your sausage and your ground beef, onion and garlic in a Dutch oven over medium heat. And you're gonna do it until it's well browned, all right? So the deal with that, how do you tell if your meat is well browned? Usually it's texture, it's sound that you hear when your meat is cooking. Or texture when you push down on it with a fork, it'll sizzle, it'll pop for you. But if you're pushing, if you're wearing a safety tool or safety gloves when you're doing this, that stuff isn't going to affect you that much, right? Yes, you're going to feel the heat. Yes, you might feel a little splatter. But when it stops to sizzle as much, you know that it's done, right? It's still going to be sizzling, but you're not going to hear that new fresh sound of sizzling. It's gonna be a harder consistency when you push down on it, and so that's how you know when your meat is well browned. Okay.
That's a great tip because I think
Yeah.
over the years that has been the biggest question that people have had, and
How do you
that
know when it's done?
makes sense. Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
it's all consistency. So when your meat is not cooked, when it's raw, you feel it kind of mushy.
Right.
And it's still mushy when it's because you're using ground beef, right? So it's still mushy a little bit when you're pushing down on it with your fork, but you feel that it gets harder as it's cooking. Like the little pieces of meat, it gets harder as it's cooking. So that's how you can tell. Just push down on it with the back of your fork, and let it sizzle for you. Let it pop, right? Because as it gets closer to the bottom of the pan, the heat is going to make it pop for you. All right, and so that's how you know your meat is browning really well. And then this next step is going to be all of the things that we just talked about. You're gonna stir these in. You're gonna stir in crushed tomatoes, tomato sauce, tomato paste, and water. Season it with the sugar, 2 tablespoons parsley, basil, the salt and the Italian seasoning. You're going to put that in there. Fennel seeds and pepper. You're going to simmer it covered. So it's going to be on a medium flame. You're going to simmer it and you're going to have it covered for 1 to 1.5 hours. And you're going to stir it occasionally so things don't stick, right? You don't want stuff sticking to the bottom of your pan. So you're going to look in on it every few minutes and stir it. Make sure everything is nice and loose in that pan. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to bring a large pot of water to a boil, and it's going to be lightly salted. Okay, so the rest of the salt that you didn't use, you're gonna lightly salt the pot of boiling water. And the way that I do it, and people have their own ways of doing it, just put a little bit of salt in the palm of your hand. Like it should just fit in the very, very middle of the palm of your hand, and just toss it in. All right. And you're going to salt the water before it's actually boiling, so you don't have to worry so much about heat, when you're holding your hand over the pot to be able to put the salt in there. All right, so you don't have to worry about that. So we're going to bring it to a boil, and you're going to cook the lasagna noodles, and you're going to cook them in boiling water for 8 to 10 minutes. You're going to drain the noodles and rinse with cold water.
Now, that's a question that came up the other day. Someone asked, because he's newly blind, well, how do I make spaghetti and then pour out the water without burning myself? Do you have any tricks on that, Bill?
So again, safety gloves to be able to, and you can use a strainer. You can put a strainer like in the sink and then pour the water over the strainer, right? Like so the spaghetti will fall into the strainer and then the water will just go down the drain. But again, that takes a little bit of practice, especially when you're dealing with really hot things like a pot that's boiling. So I would do that. They also make spaghetti strainers that would kind of go into your pot, and you kind of pull it up and take it out, and then all you have left is like it's basically strained itself, and you have a pot of boiling water left that you can always pour out whenever that water cools. You can
Almost
pour it
like a
into your
double
sink.
boiler.
There you go. Basically like that. All right, so let's talk about the next step here. So in a mixing bowl, you're going to combine ricotta cheese with egg and the remaining parsley, half a teaspoon of salt. You're going to put that all in a mixing bowl, and you're going to mix it well, right? And you're going to preheat your oven to 375 degrees Fahrenheit. And if you're listening outside the United States, that's 190 Celsius.
Thank you for that.
So you're going to spread the meat sauce on the bottom. And it says to use a 13-inch baking dish.
Like a 13 by 9.
Yes. 9 by 13, correct.
No, 13 by 9. Not to
Well,
I'm just teasing you.
you're going to arrange six noodles lengthwise. So they're going to go from if your pan is so it's like about a 9 by 13. So you're going to spread them like a six pack of drinks going three in the back and three in the front. Okay. And then you're going to top it with your cheese slices, your mozzarella cheese. And then obviously the ricotta cheese is going to be in there as well. Sorry about that. So put the ricotta cheese in first, and then put the slices of mozzarella cheese on top, but mixed in with the ricotta cheese. Okay.
Right.
And then you're going to put more meat sauce on top of your ricotta cheese and your mozzarella. And then you're going to sprinkle the 1/4 cup of Parmesan cheese. And then you're going to repeat the layers. You're going to repeat the steps that I just talked about right now, where you put another 6-pack of lasagna noodles on top, followed by more ricotta cheese, and then the rest of the mozzarella cheese. Now you're going to cover it with foil. Make sure that the foil is not touching the cheese on the top of the pan. Or if you want to make sure that it's not going to touch the cheese, you can use some cooking spray that goes between the aluminum foil and the top of your lasagna. You're gonna bake it in the preheated oven. So once your oven gets to 375 Fahrenheit or 190 Celsius, what you're going to do is bake it for 25 minutes in that oven, and then you're gonna remove the foil and bake it again for an additional 25 minutes. Once that's done, you're gonna take the lasagna out, and you're going to rest it for a few minutes. I would say about 15 minutes or so. Rest it, let it cool, let the cheese do its thing where it gets nice and stringy, and then you can serve it. And I would recommend cutting it into, what are we saying, squares or rectangles? You can have 2 squares or 1 rectangle, whatever you
There you go.
but no, seriously, so you can just use a nice long knife to cut it across into even slices that will turn into squares. So you cut from back to front of the pan, you cut from left to right of the pan, and you have your squares of lasagna. And again, once you're done eating, whatever you have left over, you can put into Tupperware. Because you're using good quality noodles, right? We said nice thick noodles,
Right.
lasagna noodles. It's gonna cut very easily. It's not gonna be like a casserole, right? It's not gonna end up all over the place. It's going to be nice squares or nice rectangles of lasagna. You're gonna stick them into a Tupperware, like or separate Tupperwares. And if you want lasagna tomorrow, you can just grab one, place it in your oven or in your microwave or whatever, and reheat it. And because you made it fresh, because it's not one of those, store-bought, prepackaged lasagnas, it's going to taste really good reheated. All right.
Sometimes even better the second day, right?
Absolutely. Sometimes it is better the second day. And if you have, I like the Tovala oven a lot. If you have the Tovala oven, and you put the lasagna on reheat, it'll reheat for 10 minutes. And I'm telling you, that stuff comes out amazing. You put a little bread in there as well, and it will make the bread nice and crispy on the outside and soft and warm on the inside, right? Just 10 minutes in that oven, and it works really well. All right,
What is a
so
Tavala oven, Bill?
the Tavala oven is a very accessible oven. They don't just market it to people who are blind. They're not just marketing it to our community. It just happens to be accessible. It runs on buttons or the app. You can download the app, and it even has a barcode reader on it, and it allows you to cook your meals independently. It's an oven that's like a countertop oven, and you can put a tray, or you can put anything that goes in that oven. You can put it in that oven and cook your food for you. There's multiple settings, so you have a bake setting, a broil, a reheat, a toast, and you also have a steam feature in that oven. It does have a barcode reader, so if you buy some groceries, if you want to get like a meal that you want to just preheat, you can buy your stuff at the grocery store, scan the barcode, and it knows exactly how to cook it for you on most meals. Like, there's a lot of things that it can do. There's a lot of barcodes that it can read, and it's got the stuff built into the system, so it knows what you're cooking.
I'm
You
gonna
can
have to look
also,
that up.
yeah, you can also get meals from Tovala. They can ship them to you. You can buy as little as four at a time, or as many as you want, and they come to you as often as you want. So you can have them come weekly. You can have them come, just a few every month, every few weeks. It doesn't matter. You can always tell them, hey, I don't want any more meals right now. You can always stop it. So yeah, there's a lot of things you can do with that thing. It's awesome. And I've done the field of vision. We did, I think, five or six different podcasts on it where we show people how to use them. And so those will be uploaded to iTunes here in the near future. We were using a different podcasting platform. We were using Clubhouse,
Oh,
and
yeah.
that has changed drastically. So we're going to be moving all of the field of vision stuff to iTunes and anywhere you get podcasts. So we've got the files. We just need to upload that stuff and make sure that people are able to access it. So
One of the
yeah,
things I wanted
there you go.
to bring up with you is something I learned by trial and error with my lasagna is that the most important thing you can learn, maybe, is to, when you take the lasagna out of the oven, leave it cool for like 10 or 15 minutes. Otherwise, when you cut it, it's like slurpy. It's all
Yeah,
over.
it's gonna get the cheese will be all kind of almost liquid sort of.
Right.
It'll be very kind of stringy slash liquidy. So yeah, you wanna and I think I hope I remember to say that, but yeah, you absolutely leave it out for 15 minutes or so. Let it cool, and then cut it into pieces so that you can serve it.
Now, Bill, what are your closing thoughts? What kind of philosophy do you have that you want to tell people about blindness?
I want people to live as comfortable and as independent of a life as possible. I want people to try new things. I want people to not be afraid. And even when they are afraid, ask questions and get those questions answered. I think it's normal to be afraid of, trying new things. Some people are afraid of going out and going to a new place, something that sounds as simple as that, but it's not simple to these people. People get scared of being out there alone, and how will I get back home? What if I get lost? What if I run into a problem? These are all questions that are constantly going through people's minds, and I want people to try new things. I want people to step out of their comfort zone, try as much as you can independently, and don't be afraid to ask for help. I think those are the things that are takeaways from this. The recipe is cool. I love lasagna. I like the recipe, but I will tell you that what I like more is seeing people getting out there and trying things on their own, and learning how to do it safely, learning how to do it with confidence. And it all leads to a more independent life for people. So
Well, that's
that's
great,
it.
Bill.
Yeah.
This has been really wonderful and very
Thank you.
educational. Tell us where we can reach you if someone wants to reach out to you.
Yeah, if you want to reach out to me, all social media is Bill Boulos. My name is spelled, last name is Boules. So Twitter, Facebook, I have an Instagram. I don't really use it that much, but I should start doing that more. BillBoulos.com is my website. You'll find everything you need to know about the field of vision on there. And that's it. I'm Bill Boulos. It's my name everywhere on social media.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you so much. And if, for those of you who want to try this amazing lasagna recipe, And even if you want to put it in the freezer after a while or not, please go to our website at www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. And if you'll find Bill's recipe there and all of our past recipes as well as our shows. And if you would like to donate to our Vision World Foundation, please click on the link at the top of the page and help us support what we're doing here to help change the way we see blindness. Thank you so much, Bill, for joining us.
Thank you so much. And like I said, you guys have done such a great job for such a long time. Donate to these folks, ladies and gentlemen, please, like, help them out. They'll bring more content your way. And the money's going to be used very, very well. So, yeah. So thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Bill. Have a wonderful day.
All right, you too.